Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
That's right, your Owlpost for the week is freshly delivered. And I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is always, the wonderfully talented and dulcet-toned Drea Kaufman.
As he says that, as we both are losing our voices for totally unrelated things, but I'm feeling yes. a little more tenor today.
Yes. I think I'm feeling like the bass today. So welcome to Owlpost.
We both just kind of dropped an octave together.
Oh goodness, yes. Well,
there's nothing wrong with your sound, people. That's what we sound like this week.
Yep. For all of time, when people listen back to this, this will be the point where Drea and I are both losing our voice, but we're back at podcasting because we already missed a week because I was away at a con. So we're back. We're back. He's back. So, Drea, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little worn out. A little run down, but overall pretty good. What about how was your con, Matt?
Oh, Dragon Con was wonderful. We had a great time. There's always so much going on, so little sleep happening. But we had a really good time. Met a lot of friends that we've made over the years that are there. In fact, my podcast partner from Aggressive Negotiations, John Mills, was also there. So that was really fun to be able to hang out with him. And yeah, just a great time. But enough about that. We're here to talk about Harry Potter, and we are on chapter 29 this week, The Dream. But before we do that, we just want to quick remind you, you can find us all over the place. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts. But, if you're over on iTunes, which is where most people still get their podcasts, help us out. Give us a star rating and review. It really does help people find the show when they're looking for podcasts. And when you do that, we read your review on the show, as we're about to do today, because we have a brand new review. Did you know that, Drea?
I did not. I always like not checking. I just like coming to the show and having you surprise me. I feel like it's like Christmas morning every time.
I love being your Santa Claus. Noelani 19 said, I came across this podcast recently, and boy, am I glad I found this. I love this podcast, the hosts discussing each chapter of the books. I wish I could be there to chat with them about the book with them. And any Harry Potter lover should listen to this podcast. They said it's just magical. 5 stars. Thank you so much. That really does mean a lot to us. We're magical, Drea.
People have been so nice lately.
I know. We're not complaining.
Super. No, not at all. I mean, no, we're not complaining at all. It's wonderful. I love hearing how much you guys like this. It makes even our weeks of low alto tones.
Yes.
Worth it.
Harry Potter.
Got a good Hagrid voice going on today.
Yeah, that, or I feel like Eeyore. Well, I guess it's time to podcast.
He's really quite more excited than that, y'all.
Yeah, at least we got a new review.
Thanks for the review.
But we really do thank you guys for all the reviews. It means so much to us. So yeah, hit us up like a review, and we'll read you out on the show, just like we did there. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. Make sure you're following us and liking us in those places so you can check out everything that's happening. You can find thenerdparty.com, where you can see all of the different podcasts that we're doing and check out all the show pages. And then maybe you would like to send Drea and I a email. you can go over to thenerdparty.com/contact, choose a show, choose Owlpost, and Drea and I will get that email, and we will be able to talk to you. But, Drea, I thought it was kind of interesting how this chapter pretty much picks up right on the heels of the last chapter, and that Hermione, Ron, and Harry are still up very late trying to figure out what the heck happened to Mr. Crouch. And I love the way that she's writing this, because you can tell, one, that they're tired, which means they're getting a little bit frustrated with each other.
A little snippy. But,
yes, but more so really because they cannot figure out what happened to him. So I really like this, because, you know, these books are always mysteries. And the kids are always trying to find those out. But here we really see them still dealing with the fact that they kind of have a no idea what's happened.
I really like that they, like, 99% listened to Dumbledore, too, mm-hmm. right? Like, Dumbledore told Harry to go back to his room and not leave again at night and blah, blah, blah. And so they kind of wait until it's technically not night anymore.
It's daybreak. I mean, the butt crack of dawn.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's technically not nighttime anymore. You know, it's okay. I can move. You know, I like how they sort of played to the, they played semantics a little bit, right? Like, of it. And I like that. I also like that it's really interesting who they run into while they're sending their owl from the owlry.
Yeah. And this is another part where I thought it was interesting, where they are kind of obeying the adults in their life. You know, we always hear about people saying, oh, the Harry Potter, just about all these kids that, you know, never obey the rules. But, you know, here they follow Dumbledore's rule for them. Do not get out of your room, you know, out of the dormitory until morning. And then here they're also following what Sirius had asked them to do, which is to, if anything has happened, please send me an owl. And so they've gone up to the owlry to do that. And like you said, they run into Fred and George, who they hear talking about blackmailing somebody, which is very odd. Which adds to all of the oddness that's been happening with them this whole time.
Well, and then we actually learn a little bit about the oddness that's been happening. And I feel like, if I remember correctly, it's Ron who shares with them that Fred and George have been trying to open a joke shop. And they've been talking seriously about that, but they don't have any money. So the whole thing is, he's like, well, you know, everyone's like, oh, don't worry about it. They're always kind of weird. And Ron's like, well, no, this could be a real thing, you know, because they don't have the money to do this, but they really want to do it. So, you know, I wouldn't put them past them to blackmail.
I think what's interesting is, you know, we're getting to see a whole different side to Fred and George in some ways. You know, they've always kind of been the comedic relief here, but the way that Ron makes it sound, you know, you do get the sense that, you know, they're not as, you know, just goofy as they might seem. You know, that there is a lot more to them than just, you know, being silly all the time. And I thought it was interesting, too, that they have this desire to use their quite substantial gifts that they've been given magically with, you know, making these joke products. And they really want to turn this into, I mean, they want to be entrepreneurs, which I think is kind of cool, you know. But
entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs?
Yeah. Entrepreneurs. Sorry, my voice is making it sound.
I liked entrepreneurs. That was nice.
Yeah, they want to be entrepreneurs. Okay. But, you know, I think it's interesting to see them in that light. But then Ron is kind of worried that they might want it so much that they might be willing to blackmail somebody, but who and how exactly, we don't have any idea of yet.
And the what the what? That's what pretty, I have to say about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I do think that's really interesting. And then I also appreciate that they're like, probably a good idea not to go wake up Professor Moody at this exact moment. He'd probably, you know, stun us or hex us, you know, for waking us up thinking he's being attacked. So they go have breakfast, and then they finally run into Moody later on. And they have a whole conversation about, you know, whether he found them, and no, he didn't. He actually used the Marauder's map, and he didn't see them. So they're like, okay, so he had to have gotten away. And then I love, again, Hermione the second time this chapter talking about you can't disapparate from the grounds, Ron. And I love that Moody's like, you ever thought about being an Aurora Granger? Your mind works the right way. And I love that she flushes pink, like she's blushing with pleasure. As that's how Rowling puts it, that she flushes pink with pleasure at somebody praising her mind, which, oh, classic Hermione. It's so beautiful.
You just know it's just so cute.
It is. It is so adorable. Well, I mean, and that's exactly what Hermione wants to be praised for, is somebody to see that she's smart, you know, because that's the thing that I think she prizes most in her life is the way that she thinks. So, you know, it would be like you being a great violin player and people saying, oh, you play the violin so well, you know, and if nobody said that, you'd be like, man, I guess I don't play this very well. So I don't know. It just, that was a really bad example. So
No, I think that's a pretty good one. Like they, you know, she, I don't know that she's ever had her talents applied to anything before. So, you know, people have told her she's smart and stuff, and it applies to school. But, you know, I feel like she gets a lot of times that, like, she's really book smart, but has not had a lot of acknowledgement in terms of being street smart or anything like that. So I feel like this is both, you know, him acknowledging that she's, like, book smart, but also complimenting just her thinking process in general, which is different. You know, she can regurgitate a book, and that's kind of most of what she's done throughout the books so far. She's regurgitated information, and in this case, she's applying the information and doing something with it. It was a little different. So I think she feels like that was big of her and different and, you know, that sort of thing. And I think she liked the fact that someone acknowledge that she's made that growth. So I think it was a slightly different situation than she's found herself in the past, so which is part of probably why she got a little like, oh, about it. But I think it was still really, I think it was really sweet, and I think it was good. And, you know, especially because, you know, she doesn't get acknowledged as having a contribution. She's smart, but she doesn't often make a contribution. So
well, and that's interesting, too, because, you know, Moody then tells him, look, all we know is that he's not here. But Potter, you should be thinking about the third task. And Harry's like, oh, yeah, right, you know. And he's like, you know, this one should be right up your alley, a maze. You know, Dumbledore said you'd managed all that stuff with the Philosopher's Stone. And then I love how Ron's like, well, we helped, me and Hermione. And it's great because in this whole scene, Moody does a really good job of encouraging these kids in really interesting ways. And in ways I think that they all kind of shine to, you know, because Moody grins at them and is like, well, help Potter practice, you know, make sure that he's really practicing spells and all this stuff and whatnot. And then we see that, you know, the fact that they are helping him later on. But I really liked that because it was one of those moments where we really see the importance of Ron and Hermione to Harry, you know, and that without them, you know, he's not the same person, you know, like he needs those two.
You see the significance that they have and that they're more than just a pretty face, if you will.
The other part that I thought was interesting, of course, they get the letter back and Sirius is furious at him. And then, of course, he's commanding Ron and Hermione to help him, you know, learn all these hexes and everything. And so that's what they do, which I think is really fun, of their practicing. And the scene of them practicing was hysterical because apparently Ron has been the stunned, like the person Harry's practicing stunning. I love him like, Hermione, do you think you could possibly be the one who gets stunned? I'm getting bruised. And she's like, but that's because you're not falling on the cushions. And he's like, I'm stunned. It's kind of hard to aim when you're stunned.
I do think that's pretty funny.
But I also think one of the things that we'll see here is by them helping Harry learn all of these things, we actually are setting up a very big plot point for the next book. That one of the reasons that Harry kind of has progressed in magic to the point that he is even here, where, I mean, he can produce a full-blown Patronus. Here, right. He's learning all of these defensive spells, all of these hexes and jinxes and disarming spells because of this task. Like, each of these things is helping make Harry who he is, and that is going to come into play big time in the next book, which is really cool.
It's such a better evolution of, I think, just Harry's skills than we get in the movies. Like, it makes sense. There's evolution, there's development.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're not just expected to believe he's figured all this out on his own. So I enjoy the camaraderie and the, I don't know, just the depth of what we get here.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, actually this chapter and I'd say the next chapter are ones to which there are a lot of things that get cut out of the film, and they really do kind of a disservice to the entire story, and specifically just to Harry's character and how he's learning all of he's learning. And I feel bad for him because, you know, their next class is divination.
Ugh.
After they and it just sounds so awful.
I think
awful.
When I read that in the book, I even went like, ugh.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh, it's divination. All right, so I guess.
They go into
like,
divination.
As I turned that page, I was like, oh. Sorry. Continue.
So they go into divination, and it's sweltering in there, you know, because it's already starting to turn towards, you know, high spring into the summer. The fire is going, the perfumed fire, you know, and Harry just ends up almost falling asleep. And before he knows it, he kind of wakes up, and he's flying with an owl and lands in a very dark room where there are two shapes, and it turns out that it's Wormtail and Voldemort. And the letter has told Voldemort that the blunder that Wormtail had made hasn't ruined everything. He's dead. I don't know if it gets much creepier than that.
It's pretty cryptic, and it sort of has that reminiscence feeling when you're reading it to that very first chapter of this book where you learn, you're watching him learn about Bertha Jorgens and dream about that. It definitely has that similar cryptic, creepy feeling, which is
yes.
What she was going for.
Yep. Absolutely. And it really does feel right on par with that. And, you know, Harry wakes up in divination and they're all like, you've been clutching your scar and like kind of yelling. And Trelawney's like, do you want to go back in? We can get the rest of this vision out. And Harry's like, no, I just have a headache. I got to go to the, infirmary. And I love this because, again, this is a part of the chapter where Harry is following the directions of the adult in his life, and Dumbledore has told him if this happens again to come to him immediately. So he goes to Dumbledore's office. Luckily, this time, Snape is not there to stop him. My favorite thing is him trying to figure out what the password is. And he starts just saying lots of random wizarding candy. And I'm sorry. I don't care if it is candy. I'm never going to eat a cockroach cluster.
Agreed. I'm with you. Ew.
Like, eh. Seriously. I mean, I don't know. That just sounds disgusting. But I love that, you know, he gets off the staircase and he kind of is listening in, and he can tell that Fudge is in the room as well as Moody, and they're having a conversation with Dumbledore. And Fudge is trying to downplay all of these things, like, I don't see a connection between, you know, all of these things. Dumbledore, you know, Ludo Bagman says that Bertha is perfectly capable of getting lost. And then, you know, well, what do you think happened to Barty Crouch? And he starts making excuses for them. And I just think it's really interesting because we get a real insight here real quickly into just how much Fudge wants everything to be okay, even though nothing seems okay about any of these things.
It's that fear, right? He's so afraid of not knowing what it is, as he has to justify it. He has to come up with a reason. He's in a position of power where he feels like he can't not have an answer. And especially with all the other things that we've been hearing going on, like disappearances and then the mark at the World Cup and, you know, just that general chaos. He just can't handle more things he doesn't know the answer to, especially with someone with such a high ranking official going missing or going crazy or doing something, like, who knows. So it's always interesting when it's so obvious to everyone else, but that person, when they're like freaking out, that they're freaking out, which is basically what he's doing.
Well, and what did you think about who he kind of starts to throw shade on as possibly being the person that, you know, could be responsible for Crouch's being missing?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. It took me a minute. I was like, who was that again? No. I do like, though, that Dumbledore calls it out as it is. So he starts to sort of insinuate that it's Madame Maxime, because as much as she didn't want her heritage to be known, clearly it is known. And Fudge starts kind of pointing fingers, you know, that way. And, you know, Dumbledore's like, I have seen nothing but an excellent headmistress out of her. If this is what you think, you know, you've already accused my groundskeeper and now you're accusing Madame Maxime. Like, you might need to rethink and revisit your own prejudices. And he basically straight up calls him out as a racist or a giantist. Which was really
a giantess. I love that.
Which was really fascinating. But it's definitely one of those moments where that finger pointing started. You know, we've already seen Mr. Crouch push around house elves. Now you have Cornelius Fudge judging people with a giant heritage. So.
Well, and it definitely shows, and I love that she does this, you know, definitely shows the ways in which those kind of prejudices can sneak in, you know, just judging people not on their actions, but because of where they come from. And I think that's the thing that I love so much about the Harry Potter series, is Rowling's whole thing with all of these characters. It is not about where you come from. It's about the choices you make in your life, and you're responsible for your choices. So she doesn't care whether you come from nothing. What she cares about, and what's happened to you in your life, what she cares about is what you choose to do with your life. And everybody, no matter their circumstances or how they've been treated in their life, has a choice to be good or bad. And it's your decisions then that show who you really are going to be. And I love how Dumbledore said that, you know, I've seen her be nothing but a good headmistress to the students that she's had here. That's my experience. That's the choices I see her making every single day. I will judge her by those choices, not just because her parents may happen to have been, or, I mean, you know, we're just assuming, but they happen to be giants, you know? And I think that's pretty cool.
Right. This chapter ends on a part that really, for whatever reason, I always sort of stands out in my mind in the movie, which is where Moody uses his aura skills to note that they're not alone. It's not as cryptic here in the book. It doesn't have that iconic line of, like, we're not alone. This conversation's no longer private, I think is what he says in the movie, and that's definitely not how it comes across in the book. It just comes across as, like, Moody's like, yeah, we can keep talking, but we should, you know, either move on or whatever, because I think Potter needs a word with you, versus kind of, instead of being like you were being nosy, it's more just like there's someone waiting, which I think I liked it better. I mean, it's so small and subtle, but I always kind of felt like Harry wasn't intentionally listening it.
Right.
Harry wasn't intentionally listening in. Wow, that's really hard to say. He was never intentionally listening in. And so I like that the book paints it that it's just him waiting and them noting that he's now waiting versus being unintentionally nosy. But yeah, it ends in such a way that this is one of those chapters where you definitely want to keep reading. You're like, what's going to happen next? Now Harry's there. What's going to happen? And there's a few chapters like that, but I think for me, this is one of the big ones where you're like, no, keep reading. There's so much going to happen.
Yeah. So. Because again, it is a chapter where the next chapter legitimately, I mean, it you didn't almost even need to have a chapter break if you didn't want to. It could have just been one big long chapter, but it's not.
I feel like it would have been a really, really long chapter. And so she broke it up into two really small chapters. I think it would have been a lot in a single chapter.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I appreciate that she broke it up, but you're right. It flows like one huge chunk of a chapter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a lot of stuff that's being batted around here. And what I also think is interesting is there are not a ton of answers yet, but there are a lot of puzzle pieces kind of being thrown out on the board to be then arranged in the rest of the chapters. So,
back to the puzzle analogy, we're now starting to build the border and have all the other pieces laid out, and we've started to like group them by color or by like distinct marking on the puzzle piece. You know, we're starting to put those in. We're starting to put some groupings together, get a feel for the overall thing. We don't really know what it looks like yet, but you know, we're pretty sure we've got nice little groupings of puzzle pieces and a nice little border going. We're getting there. We're getting there, people. We're almost there. Hang with us.
Don't worry. We are almost there because, you know, next week is chapter 30, which means there are only 9 chapters left. Or 7 chapters left, excuse me. So, this is really exciting.
You hear that, guys. 9 chapters to finish this puzzle. We can do it.
Actually, 7. I was wrong. So, 7.
Oh, my gosh.
There's only 37 chapters. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy that there are only 7 more weeks of this book. But, Drea, if anybody
like I
wants...
I need to be building a real puzzle while I'm doing this.
You need to go buy a Harry Potter puzzle and just start doing
it. Just start and get to the point and make it progress with our chapters. If only I didn't have a life full of other things.
Yeah, I can't imagine your little one finding the puzzle. Hmm.
Oh, I'd have to keep it in a locked room. At least for now.
Well, if anybody does want to catch up with you and talk to you about some Harry Potter, or maybe, you know, get a chance to see what's happening with Little Olive, where can people find you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN.
That's great. You can also find me on Twitter, MattRushing02. I'm on Instagram under the same name. I am here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills as we talk all about Star Wars each and every week. In fact, you'll hear one of the DragonCon panels there. You can also find me over on the Trek FM network doing a couple of shows. I do The Orb with Chris Jones talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And I also do the 602 Club, which is our general geek show. You will also find some DragonCon panels there. So if you have any interest in hearing the things we are involved in, make sure you check those out. And then last but not least, doing cinema stories with my good friend Courtney as we talk about film through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for checking your Owl Post.
Mischief managed.
Thank you.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.